الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صحيح البخاري's first and last hadith 10th Shawwal is the day Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi was born. It is on this date that hadith study students in Jamiatul Madina begin their study of Sahih al-Bukhari. During commencement of these studies on the 10th of Shawwal 1442 and 1443 AH, corresponding to the 22nd of May 2021 and 11th of May 2022, Maulana Ilyas Attar al-Qadri taught the first hadith and offered some of his wisdom. With amendments and additions, his statements at these events are presented here by the weekly booklet department of the Islamic Research Center in the form of a booklet. Attar's prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 27-page booklet, Sahih al-Bukhari's first and last hadith, grant them entry into Jannatul Firdaus without accountability by the intercession of your final Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyyin Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. The excellences of sending salat upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Hafs bin Abdullah Rahmatullahi Alayhi explained, I saw Abu Zura Razi in a dream after his death. He was leading angels in salah in the first heaven. O Abu Zura, I asked, what act of worship did you do to get this? He replied, I wrote 1,000,000 hadith with my hand. In each, after Anin Nabiyyi, I said Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, any Muslim that sends salat upon me once shall have 10 mercies sent upon them by Allah. Thus we come to know this was all due to the blessings of salat upon the Prophet. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The blessed individual who was seen in the dream was Imam al-Muhaddithin Abu Zura Ubaidullah bin Abdul Karim al-Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, demise 264 AH. He is a hadith narrator in Sahih al-Bukhari and also a narrator of its final hadith. Imam al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari is a renowned and celebrated book of hadith. It was compiled by Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. Its full title is Al-Jami'ul Musnadu Sahihul Mukhtasaru min umuri rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa sunanihi wa ayyamihi. It is said regarding it, as-sahhul kutubi ba'da kitabillahi as-sahihul bukhari. The most authentic book after the book of Allah is Sahih al-Bukhari. One famous title of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi is Amirul Mu'minin fil hadith. How was Sahih al-Bukhari written? Imam al-Bukhari harbored profound love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was exceptionally pious along with being a scholar and hadith expert of the highest caliber. His decorum was such that every time he wished to write a hadith and include it in his book, he would take a ritual bath, i.e. ghusl, offer 2 units of salah, perform istikhara regarding the hadith authenticity and then record it in his work. It took him 16 years to compile Sahih al-Bukhari. How many hadith are there in Bukhari Sharif? From 600,000 hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi selected more than 7,250 for his book. Shaykh Sharif al-Haq al-Amjadi rahmatullahi alayhi penned a commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari. He said, according to Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the total number of hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is 7,397, the reason behind Sahih al-Bukhari's compilation. Sahih al-Bukhari was compiled upon the encouragement of Imam al-Bukhari's teacher, Ishaq bin Rahwiya, rahmatullahi alayh. The latter once said to his students, if possible, write a short book containing only Sahih, i.e. authentic hadith. Imam al-Bukhari was there when this was said, and this impacted him immensely. At that very moment, he decided that he would write such a book. What is the meaning of Sahih? An important point for the public to note is that there are many categories hadith are placed in. Sahih is the highest category of hadith, which means that its wordings and chain of narration has been heavily scrutinized in terms of authenticity. By no means does this signify that other types of hadith are incorrect. Instead, they have their own definitions. As for Sahih al-Bukhari, it contains Sahih hadith. The sanctity of Sahih al-Bukhari. O those who love Allah's Messenger, the pious mention that reciting Sahih al-Bukhari in full is a tried and tested method for removing hardships. Imam Asil ad-Din rahmatullahi alayh mentions, for my own problems and worries, as well as those of others, I have completed 120 readings of Sahih al-Bukhari. Every goal was reached and every need fulfilled. These are all the blessings of mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rain will fall if this book is read during a drought or famine, and a ship with this aboard will not sink. Our pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, have also been blessed with visions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during completions of Sahih al-Bukhari. Allah granted great acceptance to this unique work. Despite centuries having passed, it is still taught in Islamic seminaries. May Allah grant us the blessings of Sahih al-Bukhari. Ameen. بجاه خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. Why do you not deliver a lesson from my book? Imam al-Bukhari wrote a host of books, yet Sahih al-Bukhari attained renown and popularity to an unparalleled degree. Abu Zayd Muhammad bin Ahmad Marwazi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh was once sleeping between Maqam Ibrahim and Hajr Aswad when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a dream, who asked, why do you not give lessons from my book, dear Abu Zayd? O Messenger of Allah, he replied, may my life be ransom upon you, which book is yours? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared Jami'u Muhammad ibn Ismail, the Jami' of Muhammad ibn Ismail. This refers to Sahih al-Bukhari. The first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Al-Qamat ibn Waqqasin al-Laythi yaqul, Sami'tu Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu ala minbari, qal, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كان حجرته إلى دنيا يصيبها أو إلى امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. ألقما بن وقاص الليثي relays, I heard Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu on the pulpit saying, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declaring, actions are indeed based on intentions, for everybody is that which they intended. So whoever emigrated for worldly gain or towards a woman so he may marry her, his emigration is towards that which he emigrated. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. Commentary on this hadith and discussing its narrator. The narrator of this hadith is the second caliph of Islam, Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, who accepted Islam due to the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He was the 40th person to become Muslim, which is why he is also known as Mutammimul Arba'een, the completer of 40. He is also from amongst the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 fortunate companions who were given specific glad tidings of paradise from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself. He narrated 539 hadith, of which 81 are narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. To learn more about his life, refer to the Amir of Ahlus Sunnah's book, Miraculous Wonders of Farooq-e-Azam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The meaning of al-A'mal in this hadith. Sheikh Sharif al-Haq al-Amjadi explains, this includes acts of worship, prohibitions, disliked matters, and permissible acts. In this hadith's context, it refers exclusively to righteous actions, and when looked at deeply, also extends to mubah acts. This means if a mubah act is carried out with good intentions, it becomes an act of worship. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. What is intention? Explaining what intention is, Sheikh Sharif al-Haq al-Amjadi also said, Niyat is the plural form of Niyat. This refers to the resolute inclination and aim of the heart, regardless of what for. In an Islamic law context, intention for worship is referred to as niyyat. One will only receive reward for good actions with an accompanying good intention. There is no reward without this. Three hadith about intention. Number one, the intention of a believer is better than his action. Number two, good intention will take a person to paradise. Number three, he who intended something good yet did not do it, one reward is recorded for him. The meaning of firm intention is when a person decides he will go ahead with an action no matter what. If one's intention wavers or is not complete in any way, this would not be considered the intention which earns reward. The pious and their knowledge of intention. Before learning action, our pious predecessors would study intention. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi said, previous generations would learn the intentions behind actions just as they learned of the actions themselves. Some scholars stated, learn the intention of an action before the action itself. For as long as you harbour good intention, you will enjoy goodness. Intentions were specifically taught and studied at one point. This is a huge topic of discussion. There were once even scholars of intention. Now, this is not the case. Generally speaking, intention is not taught in detail within even Islamic schools, while scholarship courses continue to be shortened even further. Allah knows best what our situation will be in the future. Perhaps intention will just be studied at a surface level at that point. The reason for this is that our interest in seeking Islamic knowledge has decreased greatly. May Allah preserve Dawati Islami. Alhamdulillah, there are large number of students who study at Jamiatul Madina. Having said this, our situation grows dire as time goes on. Two types of worship. There is a profound link between worship and intention. There are two types of worship. Number one, ibadah maqsooda, such as salah and fasting. These are done to gain reward and are invalid without intention, as the very purpose of carrying them out is to gain reward. If one does not make intention for them, he earns no reward, as the entire matter becomes null and void. Any and all other forms of ibadah maqsooda will not be valid without an intention. Number two, ibadah ghair maqsooda. These are actions which are a means to fulfill other acts of worship. For example, walking towards salah, wudu or ghusl, etc. If one carries these out with the intention of worship, they will be rewarded. Yet, they will receive no reward without intention. They are still valid as a means, such that performing salah without making intention for wudu and ghusl is still valid. Let us imagine that Zayd was not in the state of wudu. Suddenly, it began to rain, washing all of his limbs that must be washed during wudu. Even though Zayd did not have intention to perform wuzu at all, as all the required limbs were washed, i.e. at least two drops of water flowed over each body part, whilst his head was moistened appropriately, his wuzu is now considered valid. Yet, he will not receive any reward for this. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. The ruling changes with the change in intention. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh was once asked about a person who donated money for a masjid to be built and wanted his name inscribed upon a plaque therein. The Imam was asked whether this was permissible. He explained, "The ruling shall vary depending on his intention. It is haram if he does this to show off. If he does this for Muslims to see his name and pray for him, there is now no issue. As much as possible, the actions of a Muslim will be observed through the lens of good intention. Do not think or say others are ostentatious. We must have good opinion of a Muslim if they have their name written on a masjid, book, or any other thing affiliated with worship. We cannot instantly refer to them as a show-off." Imam Ahmad Raza Khan states, "Holding a bad opinion is no less of a sin than backbiting. Even if the person is being ostentatious, if this is a spiritual disease of the heart, and we do not possess a tool by which we can ascertain whether they are showing off or not, this is a matter between them and Allah. If we think negatively, we will become sinful due to harboring bad opinions. If we verbally accuse others of being show-offs, this would be slander, which itself is worse having a bad opinion. This is haram and an act that leads to hell." People are heard saying things like this all the time. "He is a liar, he shows off, or he does this for such and such reason." Sometimes we say such things which constitute slander. Here is a powerful hadith discussing the abhorrence of slander. "The slanderer shall be placed in a radghatul khabal until he leaves his slander." Radhab al-Khabbal is a place where the blood and pus of hell's inmates will pool together. Slander is very dangerous. Every day we hear statements like, "He is a user," or "He only does things when it's of benefit to him." Other times, our entire conversations revolve around nothing but slander. A beautiful point. I love everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. One aspect of his sacred speech I particularly love is the fact that he never said anything to somebody which they disliked. By Allah, this is an amazing and beautiful sunnah. All discord would end if we acted upon this. May Allah make it such that we think before speaking. Would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say what I am about to say? And will the person I am saying it to like this? Especially when, according to Sharia, there is no need to say that. By thinking like this, I believe that we would avoid many wrongdoings and our society would become a joyful one. May I also be given the ability to act upon this. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A third of Islam. Imam al-Shafi'i and other Imams rahmahumullah say about the hadith which mentions إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ ثُلُثِ Islam. This hadith is the third of Islam. Shaykh Barduddin Mahmud bin Ahmad al-Aini al-Hanafi rahmatullahi alayhi said, this hadith speaks about intention. The rulings of Islam are acted upon in three ways: via speech, actions, or intention. This renders intentions a third of Islam itself. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. Two parts of worship. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi explained, worship comprises intention and action. Intention is of greater importance, as physical actions are taken to positively affect the heart, steer it towards goodness and turn it away from evil. Prostrating during salah is not just placing one's forehead upon the ground, but to foster humility within the heart. Giving zakat is not only to remove ownership of wealth from oneself, but to also remove stinginess from the heart. And this can only be achieved by breaking the bond between the heart and wealth. You should try to make many good intentions in all your actions, to the extent of making numerous intentions for a single action. If you are sincere, you will learn how to make good intentions, inshallah. The benefit of a good intention and the harm of a bad one. A reward for any action is conditional upon good intention. No matter the immensity of the good deed, the accompaniment of bad attention alongside it renders the deed useless. Imam al-Bukhari initiated his book with this hadith, so the reader, teacher, sheikh and student alike all study and teach with good intentions, as bad intentions will result in all efforts going in vain. Imam Shamsuddin Al-Hirmawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, when Imam Al-Bukhari made his intention sincere and his goal pure, Allah made his book a means of benefit for the people. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Intention for writing a book. Imam Abu Dawood Tayalisi rahmatullahi alayhi would say, it is essential for a scholar that whenever he writes a book, his intention should be to help spread Islam. He should not intend for people will deem him good due to his excellent writing, as if he makes this intention, he will not be sincere. Allah announces in verse 7 of Surah Muhammad, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ يَنْصُرْكُمْ يُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help the religion of Allah, He will help you and grant you steadfastness. Seven ways of aiding the religion. As described in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, there are many ways of aiding the religion of Allah, seven of which mentioned below. Number one, striving against the enemies of Islam with one's tongue, pen or sword. Number two, explaining the evidences of Islam clearly, removing any doubts regarding them, and describing the obligations, sunnahs, and what is halal or haram. Number three, calling for good and forbidding evil. Number four, striving to propagate Islam. Number five, aiding capable scholars who have devoted their lives to propagate Allah's religion. Number six, spending your money on righteous matters. Number seven, allowing scholars and preachers to freely serve the religion by taking care of their financial needs. There are many other cases besides these which are ways we can aid the religion of Allah. Good intention will take Muslims to paradise. As written in Mirqat al-Mafatih, Sharh Mishkat al-Masabih, Muslims will not be in paradise forever due to their deeds, but due to their good intentions. If they went to paradise due to their deeds, they would remain at a station matching the amount of deeds they did, or perhaps slightly higher. Yet a Muslim intends to remain believing in Islam even if they were to live for eternity, and due to this good intention, Allah will grant them paradise for eternity. Disbelievers will remain in hell forever due to their ill intention, as they intend to consistently disbelieve, even if they were to live forever. Due to this ill intention, Allah will cast them into hell for eternity. We will never be able to thank Allah fully for the incredible bounties and blessings He bestowed upon us, as He has made us part of the Ummah of His final Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Six stories. Number one, an intention to walk. Yahya bin Yahya Nishapuri rahmatullahi alayhi once consumed some medicine. His wife suggested, "It will be better if you walk around the house for a while so the medicine can take full effect." He replied, "I cannot think of any intention for this walking. I have held myself to account for 30 years as to why I did every action. Now I cannot provide a reason as to why I would walk." Number two, no intention to look in the mirror. There was once a pious man who wished to comb his hair. He indicated for his wife to pass him a comb. She asked, "Shall I bring a mirror too?" After remaining silent for a short while, he then said yes. When asked the reason for his silence, he explained, "I had intention for the comb, but not for looking in the mirror. So I stopped until Allah created intention for it in my heart." Number three, eating and not eating both for salah. Ishaq rahmatullahi alayhi recalled, "Abdul Rahman bin Aswad never ate without intention. When somebody asked him to explain this, he said he only ate when offering salah became difficult for him and he had no energy. Even then, he ate only moderate amounts as to maintain sprightliness and zeal during salah. When he became weak due to reducing his food intake, he then began eating again to regain his strength." In other words, both his eating and lack of eating were for the sake of salah. Allah's righteous servants are indeed amazing people. When we look at ourselves, we find we only eat for pleasure. As written in Bihari Shariat, eating for gratuitous pleasure and extravagant gratification is a bad trait. These are not matters of halal and haram, but of piety. If somebody eats merrily for gratification, we will not label them a sinner. Yet, if there is no good intention, we will have to give accountability for it on the day of judgment. Number 4. Making intentions before teaching. Sheikh Sharif Samhudi Rahmatullahi Alayhi relays, when Sharaf Munawi, our Sheikh, would depart his home to teach, he would first stand in his courtyard and make intentions to avoid showing off and remain sincere. This means he would stop and mentally ensure whatever he was about to do was only to please Allah and not to show off. Definition of ostentation. The literal meaning of riya is showing off. It is to perform an act of worship for other than the sake of Allah. As it as though one's intention through worshipping is to make others aware of it, so he can acquire their wealth, receive their praise, be considered pious, or to gain their respect. Number 5. The outcome is in accordance with the intention. Good intentions lead to good results. The opposite rings true for bad intentions. In some cases, the bad outcome of a bad intention is witnessed immediately. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, a king once went on a tour of his kingdom. During this, he stayed with a person who did not know he was a king. The person exited one night to milk his cow. The king was stunned to see the milk the person returned with equal to that withdrawn from 30 cows. A bad intention surfaced in the king's heart as he resolved to steal the cow. The next evening, the cow produced only half the amount yielded from the night before. When the king expressed his astonishment, the host said, the king intended to wrong his subjects, because of which the milk halved in volume, even though he did not know this individual was the king himself. When the king is unjust, blessings depart. When the king heard this surprising news, he took back his intention of stealing the cow. The next night, the cow gave as much milk as it did on the first. The king took heed from this and stopped being unjust towards his subjects. Number 6. Unique way of acting upon intention. Nafi radiallahu anhu relates, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma would fast whilst Safiya bin Ubaid radiallahu anha prepared something for his iftar. Once he was given a ripe pomegranate. When a poor person came to his door, he said the fruit should be given to the latter. Safiya said, there is something better for him. She then said to me, give him such and such thing. When that pomegranate was presented to Abdullah bin Umar again, he declared, give this to another beggar, for I have made intention to give it in charity. Subhanallah, he did not take back his intention to give it away in charity, even though intention alone does not have any effect on ownership. Yet, as he had made an intention, he saw it fitting to act upon it. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Intentions and reward correlate. The first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari also mentions innama likulli imri'in ma nawa, for everybody is that which they intended. Some scholars postulate this means a person will be rewarded in accordance with the way did a particular deed and the number of intentions they made. This renders intention a condition for every permissible action to become an act of worship. This also means a believer will be rewarded for a righteous action in accordance with the type and number of intentions they made. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, a scholar of intentions. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes, "If one cannot increase in an action, make good intentions, and one action will become ten. It is foolish to make just one intention, as this is to bring loss upon yourself for no reason. Purchase this book of Maktabatul Madina on the topic of intention, Secret of Earning More Reward. This also can be downloaded for free from Dawat-e-Islami's website." Final hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. عن أبي زرعة عن أبي حريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. أبو زرعة رحمة الله عليه reports that Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said, "The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam announced, 'Two phrases are loved by Ar-Rahman. They are light on the tongue, yet heavy on the scales. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim.'" Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan mentions in commentary of this hadith, "These words are beloved to Allah. So he who takes them as a litany will be loved by Allah, as will the reciter's tongue, i.e. speech." How to attain good character? Mujaddid Al-Faythani rahmatullahi alayhi states, "The reason for Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi Subhanallahi al-Azim being light upon the tongue is that their letters are few. They are heavy on the scales and beloved to Allah because they begin with the word Subhanallah. This makes apparent that Allah is free from anything which does not befit Him. Saying Subhanallah is a vasila through which one can have their sins erased and evils forgiven. By saying Subhanallah or any other litany which speaks about the transcendent purity of Allah, there is hope that He will purify the reciters from that which does not befit them. As for those who praise Him, Allah will make manifest within them perfected qualities. By repeating these phrases, one's sins are uprooted and character ameliorated." Imam Ash-Shafi states, "By mentioning the transcendence of Allah, one is protected from afflictions, the benefit of good intention." Imam al-Bukhari began his Sahih, a hadith containing the words, "Innamal a'malu bin niyyat," indeed actions are indeed based on intentions. He concluded it with the hadith just previously mentioned. This is because the hadith of intention is affiliated with the world, as the latter is a place of practical actions, and the reward for actions is founded on intentions. This final hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is associated with the hereafter, as our deeds will be weighed there. We can derive from this that the deeds of those who made good intentions will be weighty on the scales. May Allah make us passionate about good intentions and grant us more knowledge of this amazing topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.